I just wanted to start by saying thank you to the church. Thank you for those who have been praying for me this week. If you didn't know, I was up in Sydney for a week, for 4 days, on the second leadership intensive. We've engaged with Reach Australia. We'll share more of this on our Vision Sunday in a couple of weeks. But the second leadership intensive ran up this week, and it's great to be able to. A couple of things I'll just mention was just to go sort of cement in my mind as I came away from there with some of the things we're trying to implement in the life of this church as we go head towards our vision and what God has called us to be here in Monty. And so those things I want to come back, I want to share with the leadership. We want to be able to share and communicate clearly with you as the church on why we're doing the things we're doing and why are we making some changes perhaps to the way we do leadership, to the way we do ministry, to be effective in mission and in ministry. The second thing that sort of stood out to me was being grateful to God for what he's doing in this place. As pastors sort of came from all over Australia at this conference, of this workshop, it was sort of the sort of usual sort of conversations in the first couple of days, or first day especially, was just getting to know how people's year was going in their church and what was been happening. Because we're all doing this same sort of program and the same intensive and leadership program. And so just to be able to talk about and reflect and take a step back and look over the year, what has God been doing in Monty? It was just reminded me of God's grace and his forgiveness, absolutely, but his grace towards us, in the way he has moved people to be with us. Some people moved on in being able to share the gospel and be able to lead someone to Christ and being able to have baptisms in a few weeks. That God is at work and we have a responsibility to be part of it. And that's really where we're at in these 5 weeks. We started last week being in community, but we're talking about being healthy disciples because we recognize to be a healthy church, we need to be healthy disciples. That's how it works. And we've highlighted 5 areas. You could highlight many more, but we've highlighted 5 areas that we want to look at in these 5 weeks. And today we're looking at being on mission. Being on mission. I'm not that physically healthy. You probably gathered that just from looking at me, but I was playing cricket yesterday and today my legs feel like concrete. I've got to like pick them up to put them down. That's why my knee was cracking before when I was trying to wash his feet. But I don't run that often. You can probably tell that as well. I've obviously made some decisions in my life that has led to me not being as fit and healthy as I probably should be at 44 now. But I wonder how we're going spiritually. I think it's easy to look at our physical health and say, oh, well, I need to do diet better. I need to do exercise better. And we'll see some amazing changes. But are we spiritually healthy? Would we look at our lives and be able to say, I'm a healthy disciple? I'm a healthy follower of Jesus. If you're a Christian today, and I was to come to you and ask you individually, do you want to see people that don't know Jesus come to know Jesus as their Saviour and Lord of their life? It's a pretty straightforward question. Oh, actually, I would hope so. I would hope that all of us would be an astounding yes, of course. And if it is happening in your life, praise God, that is wonderful. But if it's not happening in our lives, surely there comes a time we have to ask, well, why is it not happening? Why is it not happening in my life? These are the questions and some of the things that we, as elders, we've been discussing and thinking about, especially last year. And it led to our engagement with Reach and our vision about being a healthy church, supporting 5 people a year to come to know Jesus. Because we see that as a sort of a healthy growth of conversion within the church of our size. Being healthy disciples. I think a sermon about being on mission can often lead us to feeling guilty. Because perhaps what our said desire is, yeah, I want to see the lost one. I want to see people confess their sin and repent and Jesus change their life. Perhaps that isn't actually a reality. We don't see that as a reality in our life. And so there comes with these sorts of messages a bit of guilt, and we can walk out just feeling guilty and a bit down. And it's not my intent this morning for that to happen without wanting to put a lid on what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives this morning through the message of His Word. That's not my intention, that we walk away feeling guilty. But we want to expose the truth. We want to expose our minds to the truth of who we are in Christ. Why are we here? What is our mission? There's much to be said about this well-known passage in 1 Corinthians 12, especially in relation to the life of the church and our roles. That's quite often how we look at that passage, and rightfully so. But I want to mention 2 things this morning from this passage in the context of the mission of the church, which is the mission of every follower of Jesus. And the mission is to quite simply make disciples. It's easy to say, it's much harder to do. Make disciples. Tell people about the good news. The things that you've experienced in your life. God at work. Because that is the identity, we'll see in a moment, the identity of the believer. That we would share the good news of Jesus that has impacted on us. It's not a spiritual gift to tell others about Jesus. There is the spiritual gift of evangelism, absolutely. But it's not a spiritual gift to tell others about what Jesus has done in your life. The reality of who Jesus is. Sharing the good news is our identity. The first thing I just want to point out is that it says one part of the body doesn't have a sense of belonging. It seems like one part of the body doesn't feel like they belong as they look at other parts of the body. And so there's no buy-in, really. There's no buy-in from these parts of the body to the mission. There's no buy-in to the purpose because they don't feel like they belong. The foot says, I'm not a hand. And the ear says, I'm not an eye. But they don't cease to be part of the body. That is their perception. I think the classic example is when we talk about mission, that a believer says, I'm not an evangelist. I haven't got the personality. I don't belong in the space of mission because I'm an introvert. It's too hard for me to talk about Jesus. There are other people doing it, so I'll do other things. I don't need to talk about Jesus. And we find that there are parts of the body that say, I don't belong to this mission and purpose. It's not for me. The second part to this is the eye says to the hand, I don't need you. And the head says to the foot, I don't need you. And an unhealthy church has people in it who says it's not your role or responsibility to share the good news of Jesus. That's the role of the pastor or the leaders or the five or six of us or the ten of us. That's a sign of an unhealthy church. It's the mission of everyone within the church to share the gospel. It is our role and responsibility to be trained, to be equipped, to leave this place, going into our communities, to share the good news of Jesus. And for those who might be deemed as less important, as less honourable, as weaker, as not able to, God actually says, you are honourable. You are important. You are indispensable. You are needed. The mission of God for His church is not just for the pastor. It's not just for the elders. We can't excuse ourselves. It's not just for ministry leaders. It's not just for when you turn 18. If you have made a decision by faith in Jesus, that through His death and through His resurrection, that you believe it by faith and that you receive forgiveness for your sins and there is a new life in you, well then your mission is to share that experience, is to share that good news with others. It's on all of us. So that your mission is the same as my mission. Whether it being at 10 years old or 12 years old or 18 or 80 or 90. The mission of making disciples is a mission for life. It's not a job that you achieve through earning a degree. It's not a calling that comes upon people in positions of power or status. If you belong to the kingdom, then we are called to make the mission of making Jesus known. We are called to make that our mission. It is to become our identity of who we are. Last week, David brought to us that a healthy disciple lives in their community, lives a life in their community with the priorities and values of kingdom living, which are found in Matthew 5. And these priorities and values are life-changing. It's the way to follow Jesus. David spoke about the way. It was known as being part of the way. The way of living that Jesus calls us to live. Salt and light in the world. And to be healthy spiritually is to have a good understanding of our identity. Of who we are in Christ. That this life that Jesus spoke about at the washing of feet. This life that He speaks of is a life of purpose. And that purpose is this mission to take the good news and share it with people. Probably the greatest verses we know about the mission Jesus shares with his disciples and shares for us is Matthew 28:19-20. That as you go out into your communities, as you go, make disciples and baptize them and teach them all the things I've commanded you, and I am with you. And in Acts 1, just before his ascension into heaven, Jesus said to his followers, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You will have power. You will have power to be my witnesses. I love the TV shows that are set in the courtroom. Not sure if you watch many of those shows. I love the courtroom battle. I'm pretty old, so I go back to Matlock. Matlock. There's a few older people my age, that's good. Perry Mason. Then in my older years, I really got into Law and Order. Law and Order, that really expanded. That got pretty wild though, Law and Order. It took off in all different directions. Law and Order, everything. I've just been watching a show called The Lincoln Lawyer. Great series. Just finished the last season. I was watching episodes on the plane, up to Sydney and back. But they're always looking, you know, over the years, they're always looking for, whether they're defense attorneys or the prosecutor, they're always looking for a witness. If they can just, and this was in the Lincoln Lawyer, I don't want to spoil it, but they just need to find the witness. Because the witness has experienced something. The witness has seen something. And can testify and swing the case towards whoever lawyer calls them up. You see, Jesus isn't calling us to make a story up. He's not asking us to be imaginative and creative. He's actually calling us to testify. To be a witness. What is your encounter with Jesus like? What has that been like in your life? Even if you made a decision for Jesus at this age, what impact has God had in your life? These are the things Jesus wants us to testify about. In Acts 20, Paul is on his way to Jerusalem. And he's not sure about what's going to happen when he gets there. It's very possible that in Jerusalem Paul will be persecuted. There might be death. He's not sure. And so on the way, he'd already spent a significant amount of time with the church in Ephesus. But in Acts 13, on his way to Jerusalem, they want to stop and he gathers the elders of Ephesus and he has this conversation with them. But I just want to talk about one verse this morning. And it's Acts 20 and it's verses 24. And he's speaking to the elders, the leaders of this church that he planted. And it's probably the last time he's going to see them. And he has this to say. I consider my life worth nothing to me. If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task is testifying to the gospel of God's grace. I want to read this verse again. This is an important verse. I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. And the task is testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And so I see four sort of picture illustrations in this verse, just to get our heads around this attitude towards life and this attitude towards mission. The first one is an accountant. We all love accountants, don't we? I think Shane's in Bonnie Doon this weekend, but we've got an accountant among us. He said, I do not account my life of any value. I consider it worth nothing to me. Paul has added up his life, everything that he's done, and we know plenty about his life, but there's plenty that isn't documented, plenty of things in his mind, I'm sure, that we don't know about, but he adds all these things up. And he concludes the most valuable, the first and foremost thing is that my life is for the Lord. I don't prize my own person. My identity isn't caught up in title. It's not caught up in achievements. My identity isn't caught up in finances. It's not caught up in where I live. He wasn't suffering from extremely low self-esteem to say such a thing. But rather, he thought less of anything in this life in order to exalt the things that he can do for the Lord. They're the priority. In Philippians 3, Paul says, whatever gain I have, I count it as a loss for the sake of Christ. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. If you're an accountant, if you've done accounting, you remember they always have a ledger. There's always a ledger and there's always things on either side. And this is basically what Paul's saying. I've done a ledger and there are the things on this side which are in the world and there are things here that I need. There are things that I've experienced. Food and water and places to live and people to see. But you know what? I actually don't have any real priority on these things. I hold on to these things very loosely. They're not of that much importance, actually. Because on the other side of the ledger, it is the mission that Jesus Christ has called me to. And on this side of the ledger, he says, on this side of the ledger, oh, this is everything on this side. I give my life for this side. I'll do anything. This is of the highest priority. Here, don't really need it. Don't grip onto it too tight. Hold it very loosely. It can come and go. But over here, the mission, sharing Jesus, making Jesus known, telling people about the impact that's had on my life. This is the mission. I'll do anything, Paul says, for this. I'm prepared to give my life for the mission. Then he says, if only I may finish my course. You may have race. If only I may finish the race. I'm not sure if you've heard of Johnny and Alistair Brownlee. English athletes, triathletes. In their Olympic, the Olympic gold medalists. One of them's gold, I think the other one won silver recently. In 2016, these two brothers were in Mexico running, riding and swimming and then running, it was the world finale of the triathlete, in the triathlete world. So obviously a very important event. And Johnny was leading, and with 700 meters to go, Heat exhaustion just caught up with him and he couldn't take another step. Couldn't finish. And he crumbled. He was on the ground. It was quite a well-known story, and pictures went all around the world of this. One runner actually went past him and won. But his brother was in third. And his brother saw him, and Alistair picked up Johnny and took him all the way, carried him all the way to the finish. And when they got to the finish line, Alistair actually let Johnny, who was leading, he let him cross into second as he took third. The word finish means to bring to a full end. And Paul puts it to complete the race, to complete the task, the course. The race is not a portion of our life, it is our entire life. How we do mission for our entire life, it looks different. I'm sure that the mission to make disciples looks different in your 20s. Your teenage years than it does in your 40s and 50s, maybe in your 70s and 80s. I'm sure it looks different. At different stages of life, we have young children to raise. At different stages of life, we may travel the world. At different stages of life, we have more energy, more flexibility. Oh. I love the example of many of the older people in our church here at Monty who are running the race faithfully and obediently to the Lord. I'm not going to sort of list a whole bunch of names because I'll definitely forget someone and I don't want to embarrass others. But I know circumstances have been difficult this year for some, in particular our older people in the congregation. I know in the last few years there's been some incredible difficult challenges. But I'm so encouraged. I'm so encouraged that you continue to show an example of what it means to complete the race. To keep going. To be on mission. In your 70s, 80s and 90s. And I'm sure that at some points in the last few years there's been times of absolute despair. Why me? Oh, this is an opportunity to, when I grieve, I just want to be go away from everyone else and be alone for a while. And I know in that place you've testified to the grace of God who has restored you. You've testified to the grace of God who sustains you. And you've come, whether it be a Sunday, maybe a play group, a kids club, a prayer meeting, Tuesday afternoon study group, because I see the desire to be on mission. You are a wonderful example and encouragement to us. Thirdly, a steward. It says there that I received this task the Lord has given me. I've received this from the Lord Jesus. A steward knows that nothing we have is completely ours, that we manage what is given. We don't take ownership of God's grace because we haven't earned it. We didn't work for it. We're not entitled. We are recipients of God's grace in our life. And so we are stewards of God's grace. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, Paul says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit who is in you, you receive from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your bodies. It's an incredibly challenging attitude to apply 1 Corinthians 6:19 to 20 to our lives this week. Incredibly hard. To be able to put off self and desires. Say, I am not my own. God, you bought me at a price. So today, what is it you want to do with me? Help me to put off any attitude of ego and pride and selfishness and greed. May I just live for you. Well, that's the call. That's what God wants from us. Incredibly challenging. But doing so will drastically change the way we live. It will. We are stewards of God's grace. We have received salvation. If you're a believer this morning, you have received salvation from God. You have received peace with God, forgiveness, and hope of eternity in his presence. So the questions are, how do we manage it then? This is what we've received. What do we do with it? How do we manage with what God has given us? How do we live as though we are not our own? How do we take this truth of who God is and share it with those in our community? This is being on mission. The last point and the last little picture from this verse is to be a witness that I touched on earlier. To be a witness. See, Paul sees himself as a witness. He is testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. To testify means to bear witness by affirming something to be true. As I said earlier, Jesus isn't asking us to make something up, not to create some story that's going to impact on the world. Firstly, we are to testify to the grace of God that has saved us, that has forgiven and cleansed us. And secondly, we are to testify to the grace of God that is transforming our life and changing the way that we think and live. This is the testimony that I'm looking forward to hearing in a few weeks when we do the baptisms. But we are on mission each and every day. We are on mission in each and every place to testify about the grace of God that has saved us and that is changing us, transforming us to live with the values and priorities of the kingdom. Our life is a testimony of both words and action. And what does that look like this week? What does that look like for you to be on mission this week? I suggest prayer. I suggest for myself, as I suggest for you, prayer and repentance. Prayer and repentance. I suggest time in God's word to seek godly wisdom, to seek his courage and strength when the doubt comes in. I'm not good enough to be on mission in that place. I'm not loud enough to be on mission in that place. God, give us the courage, the strength to be on mission at all times, in all places. This is our prayer, Heavenly Father, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, but we would boldly declare and testify to the truth that has impacted on us, that others may know what is made available to them is a way to be made right with a holy, righteous God. And there is a life made available to them through Jesus Christ. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for your word. Amen.